Congregation, let us read again the text for the sermon as we find it in Colossians 3. The sermon will be on verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Children here this morning, maybe you know the story of the Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. This is the story that reflected in the dream of John Bunyan, where he saw Christian traveling towards the celestial city. He had to enter through a small narrow gate in order to start his journey. And some commentators on John Bunyan discuss whether that narrow gate was his conversion or if the moment later, when the pack fell from his back, that was the moment of his conversion. Well, that's not important this morning. The importance this morning is to see Christian in the house of interpreter. And the house of interpreter was referring in that time to the church, the place where the word of God was interpreted. That's why a Christian needed to go to that house of interpreter in order to learn, so that he will travel well towards the celestial city. And in that house of interpreter, there's one particular room where I want your attention to be drawn to. The interpreter opens all these doors one by one, but then he opens one door. And when the door is open, Christian first sees nothing at all. It's a dark room. But when Christian begins to look carefully, he sees that in the midst of that room, a man is sitting in an iron cage. This man is sad. He looks down, totally discouraged. Christian is shocked by what he sees. This man is so downcast. What happened to him? So Christian asks the question, "Well, what happened to you? Who are you?" The man says, Once I was a professor of the Christian faith. In other words, once I was a Christian. But now I have sinned against God, against the Holy Spirit, for the lust, the pleasures, and the profits of this world. And I am a hopeless case. There's no hope for myself anymore. This man lived worldly. Maybe he began well, but he ended up in an iron cage because he gave in to the pleasures of this world. He was earthly minded. And though we might discuss about this point, whether this man was really without hope at all, the point is clear. This man gave in to this world, to all the attractions of this world, and he became imprisoned. Maybe some of you here this morning are sitting in the same fashion. You enter church, but if you are honest with me, you are without hope. You feel yourself a failure. Maybe you have given in to sin, and you have tried to change yourself again and again, and without any positive result, you are discouraged. But I want you to see that this man in the dark room is in the house of interpreter. that should tell us that in the house of interpreter, there is still the grace of God operating. We still today live, and by God's grace are called to repent from our sins and our worldliness. Christian responds with being completely sobered. He says to the interpreter and at this rite, "Well, may God help me to be watchful, to be sober, so that I would achieve, that I would end up at the celestial city and not in that iron cage." Christian continues to travel, and my desire is that you this morning would be warned, be challenged to walk with a sober mind towards the celestial city. Our theme this morning, therefore, is be heavenly minded. We will first see a saved Christian based on the words, "If ye then be raised." Secondly, a seeking Christian, as we find an imperative in verse 2, set your affections or your mind on the things above. And we will find an encouragement, a secured Christian, in verse 4. First of all, something about the background of Colossians. Paul is concerned about the young believers of the Colossians. These young believers were united to Christ, but they were exposed to the world around them like we are. And to these young Colossians, false teachers came, and they began to teach errors about worshiping of angels and worldliness, as you can study in chapter 2 maybe this afternoon. And then Paul exposes these false teachers, and then he instructs these Colossians to walk according to their new identity, to walk as Christians. They are not anymore under the dominion of Satan. They are freed from that dominion and are called to holiness. Therefore, it's important to see our identity this morning. As we look at verse 1, we see, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." I want you to see in verse 1 three things: a group of people, a command, and a focus. First of all, a group of people. Ye, meaning you in the plural, you Christians, you Colossians, you who have been buried with Christ and raised again from the dead, you need to listen. The community is addressed here, but in that community, every Christian is an individual. In the same fashion, we should listen this morning. As I address you, I am speaking to each one of you. But here's a great if. If ye then be risen. If ye. If is a condition. A better translation is, since you have been risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. If I would draw a paradigm here this morning, a diagram, you would see the word since, and everything that follows would be subordinate. So your whole life depends on this word, since you are risen with Christ. Are you risen with Christ or not? If you are risen with Christ, then the instruction this morning is applicable to you. If you are not risen with Christ, not united with Him, then I need to call you to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ. If, in this case, for the Colossians, it is not an if anymore. It's not hypothetical. These Colossians were addressed as believers. Since they were raised with Christ, this identity brings for them a reality, an imperative. Many Christians are confused about how does this work in my life? What am I to do? And what is that what only God can do? Some people tend to think about God who needs to sanctify myself. He needs to make me holy. Other people think I need to do it in my own strength. But I want you to see that holiness is a joint venture. Holiness is a joint venture. It is as the farmer who works on his fields. He knows that he cannot produce the harvest. He can't. It's only God who can provide in the harvest. But the farmer is called to do the sowing, the watering, and everything that is required, knowing that God can only give the harvest. God will not do the sowing for the farmer. God will not do the planting. Do you see that we are called to holiness? That chapter 3, as we read in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Do you see that holiness is a calling to us? This morning, we are called to seek, to set our affections. We are called to work, not in order to achieve our salvation. That's clearly preceded here in Colossians. These people were united to Christ. They were not saved by their own works. They were saved by grace, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His perfect faith, in His perfect obedience. Christ's righteousness was accounted to them. Their justification, and also inwardly, their unclean hearts were purified. They were given a new heart. Regeneration. These justification and regeneration were given to them, but they were responsible to pursue holiness. As the Hebrew writer says, pursue holiness, without no one will see the Lord. So here, if ye then are raised with Christ, be risen with Christ, this is about the union with Christ. Christ died for the Colossians. And in the same moment, he identifies himself with them. With Christ. With Christ means, in the moment when Christ died, the believer is united to Christ, to his death. Dead. And then, when Christ was raised, the believer is united to Christ, so that the believer will walk in the newness of life. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that has created him. Maybe you wonder, why am I focusing now so much on the context? I want you to reflect on yourself, on your identity. If you are a Christian, I want you to live as a Christian, like Paul is instructing here. If you are not a Christian, do not try to work holiness yourself, but first come to God in repentance and faith. In Romans 6, Paul speaks about this union with Christ again, buried with Christ. Therefore, in verse 4, Romans 6, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So my question is, are you a real Christian or not? If you are a Christian, everything that follows is applicable to you, since you are raised with Christ. Here, the imperative follows. Seek those things which are above. If ye be risen with Christ, if that's the case, seek those things which are above. I want you this morning to see what this means. I want you to understand this seeking and this setting of our affection. But I want you also to be motivated to pursue holiness, to pursue this heavenly mindedness. And I want you also to know how Paul gives you instruction to pursue this. So here is the imperative. Seek. Seek those things which are above. Well, you maybe wonder what this word means. The same word occurs in Matthew 6, verse 33, in the context of worry, where people are worried. Christ says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seeking is about your heart and your mind. It's about the first thing in your life. Maybe you remember that sermon I preached here on the one thing from Philippians 3. One thing is necessary. One thing. What is the first thing in your life in this moment? I'm not asking you to speak out in your mind and to defend yourself. I'm actually asking you, what does your life reflect? What might someone else say when they look at your life? Will they see someone living heavenly minded or earthly minded? It's a command. The seeking means direct your heart. Seek with all your passion the things that are above. This is about the determination. And though we find in verse 2 a call to set our affections, implying there as well our mind, we are called to change the direction. Maybe some of you have been backsliding, as we do all the time. Christians backslide all the time. We are either growing or backsliding. We are called this morning to regain a new focus, to put our focus and our direction on what God wants us to be focused on. We need to seek the things that are above. And this is so difficult. This is so difficult because the things that are above are invisible. And we have so much visible stuff around us that distracts us. As I was studying this, I was meditating on this, and I was thinking, how is it possible? How is it that I find it so difficult to seek the things that are above, even in this sermon preparation? As John Piper wrote somewhere, as we wake up, Satan is already sitting on our face. He wants our attention. The many people who have their phones, for example, besides them, they have the phones in the bedroom. There has been research that over 50% of Christians reach out to their phone in the first 5 minutes of waking up. And that percentage is higher when it comes to younger people. But many Christians, reach out to their phone early in the morning instead of reaching out to God with a desire to avoid meeting with God, with a desire to find something that satisfies that empty place inside. Because when we wake up, we are empty and we need to be filled with God's word. Seek the things that are above. The way how you start the day will determine how your day develops. If you do not spend with the Lord in the morning, how can you then be seeking Him throughout the day? It's so difficult to catch up, and I know some of you, maybe the moms in our midst, may find it so hard to seek God as the first thing in the morning when the kids are around you. But maybe you can find another moment, maybe in between the afternoon, at noon. Have a moment every day. Try and fight to seek God. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Seek those things that are above. And this is not a random seeking. This seeking here this morning is directed seeking. It says in our text, we need to look at the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Here is your direction. You need to look upward. And that's an answer for all the distraction around you. You need to look upward to Christ. And this is what Paul tries to communicate to the Colossians. When they got distracted by all these false teachers, don't look at these false teachers. Don't begin worshiping angels. Don't enter into worldliness. Here's the answer. You are united to Christ. He is your head. In Him is the fullness of everything you need. You are a member of the body. So what you need to do is to listen to what the head says to you. You need to live out your identity. How can you be a Christian, a member of the body, and not do what the head says the body has to do? It's a battle. This is the battle that we have to fight. It's a fight of faith. That's why we are called, and Paul's urgency in Ephesians 6 is that we should be armored spiritually so that we would fight well. How can a soldier enter the battle when he is not prepared? When he does not have his guns or whatever he needs with him? How can you enter the battlefield, this world, where Satan is roaring like a lion? How can you enter this world without having first met with God in the early morning hours? Seek those things above where Christ is. This is not a random seeking. This is looking to Christ, finding in Him everything you need. Like being branched and being connected to the tree, to the vine. So we need to seek the fruit coming from Christ alone. So here's a provision for you. Don't be as the farmer who hesitates to work on his fields. He knows that God can only give the harvest. But this farmer, he hesitates to do anything. And you know what happens? The Lord made provision for him, but the harvest will not come. You are called to holiness, to seek the things that are above. As I'm looking around here in the States, I notice that many people are driving with their phones in their hand. This is strictly prohibited in the Netherlands, and you will receive a high fine. But it's impossible to look at your phone and on the road in the same moment. But how can we live heavenly minded when we are so easily distracted? When we allow things in our mind, books in our house, computer games, videos that distract us and cause our cars of our souls to crash. We need to be watchful as Christian. Why is it that we have so much difficulty with seeking the things that are above? Why is it that we are so lazy, so hesitant to obey God? We like to read about, we like to do our daily quiet time readings, and we like to see new things developing. But what about obeying God? How eager are we in obeying what God says? If we read about in Numbers, I was reading in Numbers yesterday, reading about these institutions of the tabernacle, reading about what would happen if they would cross God's boundaries, that God would punish. Surely we do not have a tabernacle anymore, but what about our bodies? If we are Christians, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. How can we allow in our bodies sin to grow? Weeds of sin in our heart of covetousness. How can we allow? Let's listen to Isaac Ambrose, the Puritan, who was frustrated with himself and Christians who were so hesitant to pursue this. Oh, that I should need thus to persuade your hearts to look unto Jesus. What? Is not your Jesus worthy of this? Why then are your thoughts no more upon him? Why are your hearts not continually with him? Why are you not your strongest desires and your daily delights in and after the Lord Jesus? What is the matter? I want you to see the foolishness of living for this world. And I want you to see the beauty this morning of seeking the things that are above. Because this world is perishing. This world will perish. You cannot bring your car, your career, your possessions, your titles with you in your grave. The only thing that you will take with you are the treasures that you have gathered in heaven. That is why Christ says, seek those things above. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth in Matthew 6, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven by seeking the things that are above, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure this morning? Is your treasure seeking Christ? Is he everything? If Christ is not everything, then he is of no value for you. Christ is not satisfied with having only 80% of our devotion. Christ demands our all. He demands and deserves our all. So seek those things that are above. This is about a saved Christian, first of all, but this Christian is secondly seeking. I want you to see what this seeking means. Paul doesn't only give a general imperative, seek the things above, and leaving the Colossians in the dark. No. This is what he says. This is what you need to do. Verse 2. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on earth. So, set your affection. This is about your heart, your desires. This involves your mind, but especially your heart. The word in Greek refers to thinking, and we can see that our thinking is related to our affections, right? Think about the things that are above. And Satan is right on you to attack this. Because we live in an age when nobody wants to think anymore. In the moment when we feel bored, we gravitate media devices. We go on social media so that we will not think. If we feel sad, we listen to music so that we will not think. What about living a life of meditation? What about setting not only your time aside in the morning, but also in the evening to reflect on our lives? To think about how is my journey in this moment? Maybe you can even use the Pilgrim's Progress. You see that Christian many times, he enters in a sidetrack. He gets distracted in the castle of the giant of despair till he is brought back to that narrow path. We need to reflect. Think. Set your mind on the things that are above. You are responsible for this. Paul urges us to set our minds on the things that are above. And if you read the prayer in chapter 1, we know that these things above are about the Lord Jesus Christ, about His wisdom, His knowledge. We need to have discerning, and all these things come to us by God's grace when we read our Bibles, when we read His holy word. He is willing to teach us. There's enough for us every day till our very last breath. And it's as if Paul is making more explicit. Seek, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. He's strongly calling you away from this earthly mindedness. Do you have your ears toward God's word instead of what the world wants you to do? This is the problem, again, of amusement. A, not muse, think. Amusement is about that we would not think God's word, that we would not set our affections on the things above. We entertain ourselves. And as someone said, we entertain ourselves to death. Not on the things on earth. Earthly mindedness, as Philippians 3 verse 19 says, is terrible. It ends up in despair and in eternal judgment. And tonight we will hear again about this confusion. The confusion was for the Colossians, that they would focus on external things and forget their inside, internal life. That's why we began reading in chapter 2. If you read with me in verse 20, it says, "Therefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish." This is about external rules. Some of you might think that your Christian life is about maintaining a tradition, about doing the same thing, about going to church, reading your Bible, wearing the right clothes, having the right behavior. And still, though, all these things are related to the real issue. The real issue is not our external, is not about rules, but it's about internal renewal. That we will set our affections on the things that are above. So, how then, you might wonder, how then can I set my affections? How can I incline my thinking towards the things that are above? Well, here, we read in our text a few things that give us a key for how to apply this. The first key is the life with Christ. Live with Christ. That's the first key. If you are not a real Christian, you can try to renovate your outside, but that will not change your life. If you're not a Christian, cling to Him this morning as He calls you to repentance and faith. But here in this passage, we see that living with Christ is the secret of a real Christian. Because it says here in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you, ye shall also appear with Him in glory. The first application is live with Christ. With Him. That's the secret of every Christian. That was the secret of Paul. Every time you read with Christ, you can see the believer connected to Christ, His head, as member of the body. That through that union with Christ, the believer is now capable, through the strength of Christ, to live out his calling. Live with Christ. Secondly, this requires investment on our side. As Christ wedding to the church, and we have
our marriages, we have to think about this urgency of investing in this relationship. Yes, you can be married and never spend time together, and you will be a very unhealthy couple. But if you spend time together, you listen to one another, that is crucial. So even more in our spiritual relationship, we have to spend time with Him. Paul addresses our mind, our heart. We are called to seek God with everything, with all our strength, with all our heart, and with all our might. We have to invest in our relationship with God. This means, this implies, that if your life has sinful habits, that you need to replace these habits with holy habits, that you seek opportunities, that you make appointments with God to listen to Him, to His voice, spend time with Him, read your Bible, pray every day. What would it be when you travel your whole life towards one destination and you do not prepare yourself for it? You do not prepare. You know that if you're Christian, you will spend eternity with Christ in heaven, but you are here on earth not focusing on that at all. Would that be not foolishness? Would you not desire heaven already now in your soul? Spend time with Him. Boys and girls, maybe you know Mary Jones. She was a little girl and she desired the Bible. She wanted to read God's Word. And she saved money for many years. And then, finally, when she got all the money together, she walked 26 miles barefoot to get a Bible from Pastor Charles, I think. She worked, she fought for that Bible. And we all have Bibles in our house. And how often do we keep that Bible closed? We live often beyond or under our privileges. Maybe you're wasting your time. Maybe you have many excuses this morning. You say, well, I'm tired in the evening. I cannot read. Well, maybe you do something else. You listen your sermon audio. You listen to audiobooks. You can read. But it is especially because we are not trained anymore to invest in these things that we become so lazy to this regard. People are reading less and less and less in this time. And that's what happens if we do not read God's Word, if we do not spend time with Him. Satan has all ways to teach us. And he says you need to compare yourself. Don't compare yourself with these Puritans, with Isaac Ambrose. Don't take it that seriously. Look at that other church member. You're living like him, so you should be fine. We need especially to focus on James. As we read here in verse 8, we see that Paul is working out this principle of seeking the things that are above. And he is speaking about putting off certain things and putting on certain things. So as Christian, you cannot walk according to Satan's agenda anymore. You are called as Christian to put off all these sinful habits that Satan wanted you to have. You are to put off, let's work through this list here. Verse 8, now ye also put off all these. Anger means this angry attitude we have, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. We need to put these things off. We are called to work on our sanctification. We are called to move away from uncleanness, from lustful passions, from evil desires, from from covetousness. All these things can be summarized in idolatry. It is like you're married to one person, but in a moment when she does not notice or he does not notice, you spend time with other men or other women. That will be terrible for marriage. But are we not doing the same when we are united to Christ? We're still doing those things. We're still living in sin. We still have our idols. We are called to put off sin and to put on the habits of grace. Put on, verse 12, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And if you notice well that all these things are impossible if you are not a Christian, but they are possible if your heart is changed, then Christ's kindness, his humility of mind, his meekness, his long-suffering is available for you to help you, to strengthen you. Do you see this morning the calling that comes to you? Before we turn to how we should be encouraged from this passage, I want to sing Psalter 114, Senses 1, 6, and 10.
Congregation, we have seen the man in the iron cage discouraged. We've seen the appeal to seek the things that are above. And we see from this text that only by being heavenly minded we can be of earthly good. And now I want you to see thirdly the encouragement that comes to us, to those of us who find it so difficult to seek Christ, to spend time with Him, to read the Bible, to pray every day, to invest in heaven, to focus our minds on Christ. I want you to be encouraged from verse 3 and 4. For we find here a very reason for this seeking. Why should we do this all? Why should you pursue heaven? Why should you pursue Christ? For ye are dead. Verse 3. And your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead. It is as if Paul is saying, Colossians, don't be distracted. It looks like maybe you look at your sin and you get distracted and you think you're not a child of the King anymore. You think you are a slave to Satan again. Maybe you have forgotten the key of the promises in the house of despair. Look here, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead to sin. So therefore, be alive to Christ. The third point is called a secured Christian, because the word here, hid, means secure. It's speaking about something that is safe and concealed. It's speaking about a seed planted in the ground, secure, hidden for the world. But when Christ returns, that seed will be visible. Speaking about something that is visible, hidden, but also secure. This is the Christian. The real Christian lives a life of hiddenness. He closes the room and he prays to God. He spends time with God alone, so that when Christ appears, he will appear with Christ as a real Christian, as one who belongs to Him. So with Christ, are you with Christ this morning? Are you united to Christ? If that's true, then here's such an encouragement. Then is here your hope, Christian. If Christ is your life, in this life, then there's hope and certainty. Because Christ will return in glory. He will return. And when He will appear, then your hidden life with Him will become visible. At the last day, all our invisible lives become visible. And some of you may be encouraged, and you should be encouraged. If you are with Christ united, if you are raised with Him, some of you are not sure, still struggling with assurance of faith. Look to Christ. Don't start thinking about your state, but turn yourself to Him. Seek Him till you find Him. Cast your whole soul into His arms. Christ is so willing to provide us with everything we need. He didn't leave it to us to have the strength for our sanctification. No, He is the head of the body. He gives the believer everything he needs. The only thing is we need to be connected to Him. Have you ever seen a leaf of a tree walking through the forest during the day? No, that leaf is connected to the tree. So we are to abide in Christ. Here the text says, for you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory.
I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ, that He lived this life of seeking the things that are above. Our Lord Jesus came to this earth, and He was lonely. He was lonely in His pursuit of the will of the Father. Even His disciples didn't believe Him. Christ was enduring the cross and the shame. For what? For the joy that was set before Him. What was Christ's joy? The joy of bringing in the elect, of gathering the sheep. So here Christ is humiliating Himself, living on this earth, being despised. You can better be despised here on earth and be heavenly minded than being praised and being earthly minded. Christ did nothing without seeking the will of His Father. The will of His Father was His bread. So we should follow Christ. We should follow Him in obedience to do His will. A Christian is a Christian. A Christian lives as Christian. Let's listen lastly to an encouragement and a warning coming from the Old Testament, from Joshua and Caleb. We find the people in the desert complaining against God again and again and again. You can read about that in Numbers. And the problem was with these people that their heart was not in a promised land, but their hearts were in Egypt. Every time they came to Moses and they said, "Were we not better off in Egypt with the meat, with everything there?" They didn't enter because of their unbelief. They didn't enter because of the hardening of their hearts. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they entered the promised land. Their secret was they entered because their heart was seeking Canaan the whole time. Don't live for this world. Don't live for the pleasures and the lust of this world. It all gives you just a satisfaction for a short time. But the satisfaction that God gives endures forever. I want to challenge you in the greatest battle of life every morning to bow your knees. Maybe you find it not so difficult to read the Bible, but what about bowing your knees? Not coming to God with all your lists of requests, but bowing your knees to praise Him, to commune with Him, to enjoy Him. We are called to live as citizens of the world to come. We are called to exercise our Christ-likeness. We have to become Christ-like. It's not a choice. This morning, the calling to be heavenly minded is not an option. It's required for every Christian. And it's even a solution for those of us who are discouraged. Knowing that if Christ is your life, you are secure. Maybe Satan wants you to attack you, and even you are someone here this morning and you are living with him, and even then you feel discouraged. I want you this morning to see that if your life is hidden with Christ, Satan will never be able to disconnect it. As you can read in Philippians 1 verse 6, Christ who has begun a work in you will finish it, will bring it to completion. Christ is not only at the end of the race which He ran Himself for the joy that was set before Him. When you look unto Jesus, He gives you everything you need. He gives you everything you need. Even the most practical struggles of your daily life, He is able, as we will learn as well this evening. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Amen. Let us pray. O thou glorified Christ in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. O thou triune God, we come to thee, we praise thee for the work which thou hast done to come to this filthy earth, to endure the shame, to go to the cross, to receive the full wrath of the Father, so that we would not receive that wrath, to die, to rise again, so that Christians who are powerful in our midst, those of us who feel powerful, but being united to thee in faith, would receive that resurrection power. Help us to not be distracted, not even by our own minds, not by the minds of our friends, but help us to be heavenly minded. We pray to this end that thou wouldst give this, that thou wouldst work this out with thy Spirit. We pray that those who are enslaved, who feel themselves as sitting in an iron cage this morning, will be set free by thy power, that they will start this glorious journey of walking with thee. How would it be if we walk with thee and our life could be summarized with he walked with the Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.